بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين وعلى آله الطيبين وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. The respected friends, elders, since the start of humankind, since the start of mankind, when different humans get together, there has always been some sort of difference of opinion. In an argument, I would argue, I was right, the other person would say, I am right. Two doctors would argue in the way they prescribe the medication. Two scientists will argue with one another. One will have his own theory, another person will have his own theory. And the type of era we are living in today, my dear friends, over little things we have differences of opinion. Muslims, they differ with one another on certain issues. Muslims and non-Muslims, they differ with one another. The difference of opinion has always been there. But from the start of mankind, if there's one thing that has unanimously been agreed upon, and no sound person, please note the word I say sound, no sound person, anybody with a sound intellect and understanding has ever claimed that death will not come knocking on my door. My dear friends, this is a unanimous fact and something absolutely agreed upon, that yes, we are in this world, but we are not in this world to remain forever. Even if somebody claims that I will remain in this world for 100 years, 500 years, 1,000 years, 10,000 years, he still knows that one day my life will come to an end. One day my life will come to an end. This is something each and every individual understands, my dear friends. Whether they differ, that will we be resurrected or not, that's a different issue. But they know for sure that nobody has come into this world to remain forever. And this is why Allah Azza wa Jal, the same words, He repeats again and again, not once, not twice, but three times in the glorious Quran, at different places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ That every single soul will have to taste the taste of death. They will have to experience the taste of death. My dear friends, in light of the glorious Quran, we would not be wrong to say, without exaggeration we can say this, that we have come into this dunya to leave the dunya. We have come into this dunya to die and to leave the dunya. And I will prove it to you. This tafsir I have heard from my respected Shaykh, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Salim Dorad Sahib Hafidhahullah. He says, look at verse 12 of Surah Al-Mu'minun. Allah Ta'ala talks about creating man. And He takes our minds back to the creation of Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ We have made the human being from a certain subject of clay. A few particles put together of clay. ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ Today when you and I are created, how were we created? That a drop of fluid was put into a safe bag.
وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُّطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُضْغَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُضْغَةَ عِظَامًا فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرَ. Allah Ta'ala says, from this drop of fluid, it turned into a clot of blood. From the clot of blood, it turned into a lump of flesh. From the lump of flesh, Allah Ta'ala developed this and it turned into bones. فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا. And then we dress these bones with meat. We dress these bones with meat. What was it before? What has it now become? Allah says, ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرًا. We revived and we put it into a new creation. We put it into a new creation, a new development. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done this extraordinary thing, Allah ta'ala says after this, فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. How high and how lofty must be the status of that Allah who is the best of creators. That Allah who is the best of creators. So after talking about creating human being, maybe Allah ta'ala would have gone on to say over here that now this human being was born and we are the ones who used to feed it and we are the ones who sent down the milk into the mother's chest and we are the ones who turned this child into a toddler, from a toddler into a youngster, from a youngster into a teenager, from a teenager we took him into middle age, we took him into old age. Allah Ta'ala could have mentioned different things, that now after creating this human being, he must do this, he must do this, he must do this. But where does Allah Ta'ala go from here? فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرٌ فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ لَمَيِّتُونَ ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ لَمَيِّتُونَ. He has just talked about creating the human being and immediately he takes our minds towards that very soon, verily you are going to die. Allahu Akbar. He has just spoken about bringing us into this world and immediately he takes our attention towards this fact that ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ, very very soon you people, بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ لَمَيِّتُونَ, you are going to die. You are going to die. My dear respected friends, this world, this dunya which we have made, unfortunately, our main purpose, our main objective, that let me fulfill every single wish I have in this world. Every worldly wish and desire, I want to fulfill it. I want a job like this and I will try my utmost to get this. And I want a house like this and I will, come what may, I'm going to achieve and acquire that house. And I want to live like this and I want to live like this. The youngsters will say, I want to be the talk of the town. For me to be the talk of the town, I have to buy these sneakers, these trainers. No matter what happens, I'm going to buy them. I have to buy these trousers. I have to buy this jacket. So everybody talks about me. For me to be the man in college and university, I have to mix with the wrong crowd. I have to become the gang leader. I have to do this, I have to do this. This world has become our objective, my dear friends. This world, how much effort do we exert behind this world and how many times does our attention go towards the akhirah? Whereas, my dear friends, this world is just like a train station. This world, if one person was getting a flight from one place to another place, but in between he had to stop somewhere in transit, this dunya is the transit. Because we were all in alam-e arwah, the world and the universe of the souls, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alam-e alast, Allah refers to it in the Quran. And our ultimate abode is the hereafter. And inshallah for us believers, we pray to Allah ta'ala, He makes our ultimate abode Jannat in the hereafter. But we were in alam-e alast. And we had to make our way to alam-e akhirat, the universe of the akhirat. But to get us from one place to another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this dunya, but we are just in transit. We are just in transit. My dear friends, this dunya compared to the everlasting, eternal life we have to live in the hereafter, it's absolutely nothing. This world we are living, it's absolutely nothing in comparison to the hereafter. Mustawdid ibn Shaddad radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took qasam. Wallahi, he said, by Allah, mad dunya fil akhirati illa mithlu ma yaj'alu ahadukum usbu'ahu fil yam falyandur bima yarji. He says, the comparison, the example of this dunya with the akhirah is just like a person putting his finger into the ocean. A person putting his finger into the ocean, he dips his finger inside and then he takes his finger out. You tell me how much water, that 1-2 droplets that will be at the tip of his finger. He says, these droplets at the tip of his finger, this is his stay in the dunya, and the rest of the ocean is the akhirat. My dear friends, one of my ustaz, when we studied this hadith by him, he says that even, he says, this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given this example to make us understand. He gave a practical example to make us understand, but he says, in reality, this dunya is not even the amount of that water on your fingertip. And he says, why? He says, the ocean is still limited. The ocean is still limited. How can you compare something limited with something which is unlimited? With something which is eternal? My dear respected friends, how short is this dunya? When we see, when we pray different salawat, we pray the 5 times salawat, there is always an adhan, there is always an iqamat before the salah. But when somebody passes away, and we offer his janazah salah, is there any adhan in the janazah salah? Is there any iqamat in the janazah salah? So the ulama thought and they thought and they thought that what is the reason behind this? What is the reason behind this? And then their minds went towards the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whenever any child comes into the dunya, then the utmost first thing you should do after cleaning him, after just wiping off any dirt, the first utmost thing you should do is give the adhan in the right ear and give the iqamat in the left ear. And then the ulama go on to explain that just like we prayed the Zuhr Salah, adhan happened at 1:30, iqamat happened at 1:45, and then salat, how much time was there between the iqamat and Allahu Akbar? 5 seconds? 6 seconds? Not even 10 seconds. The time between the end of the iqamat and the time when the Imam Sahib said Allahu Akbar. So the ulama explained that when this baby came into the dunya, the first lesson it is being taught that you have come to the dunya, but you are only here for a very, very small temporary period, because the azan is being called now, the iqamat is being called now, and your death, Allahu Akbar, will take place. Allahu Akbar will take place. And what is the example? Just as that time at the end of the iqamat and when the Imam Sahib says Allahu Akbar. That is how short life will be, my dear friends. That is how short life will be. My dear respected friends, unfortunately, we are living this world today. Although we believe that we are going to die one day, although we believe that we will be resurrected one day, but my dear friends, we believe this, we say this with our tongue, but unfortunately, our body is working in another direction. Our body is treading another direction, our a'mal, our actions are going in another direction. Somebody who knows that he is going to die, somebody who knows he will stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then my dear friends, you answer for yourselves, and I will ask myself as well, that person who will stand in the court of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how would he behave? How would he conduct himself? Imagine how good and precious his a'mal must be, because he knows that one day this life will come to an end and one day we will have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why once Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah says that us few companions, we went into the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we said to him that, Ya Rasulullah, we have a question for you. We have a question for you. Man akyasu an-nas wa man ahwatu an-nas. Man akyasu an-nas wa man ahwatu an-nas. Who is the most intellectual and the most clever from the people? Who from the people, from everybody sitting here in this hall, from all the Muslims that have come in the past, from all the Muslims in every era, from Muslims, non-Muslims, who is the most clever person? Wa man ahwatu an-nas. And who is the most precautious person? Who is the most precautious person that he thinks 10 times before doing anything? Who is that most precautious person? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And my dear friends, imagine somebody was to ask us. Imagine somebody was to ask us that who is the most intellectual person? So we would say, you know, there were many of us, we migrated from India, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Somalia, and we are here in this country now. And the most intellectual person is that person. When he came into the country, he started off one, two businesses. And today, look, Allah has given him such a flourishing business. And he's got a bungalow. And he's living in a 5-bedroom house, 6-bedroom house. And he drives the best of cars. And all the guests that come, they always go to his house. He's, Allahu Akbar, the most intellectual person. Or that person who graduates as a doctor, he's the most intellectual person. He graduates as an engineer, he's the most intellectual person. Or he takes up one of the most difficult courses in the university, and on the day of his graduation, he passes with the best grades. What do we say? He is the most educated person. He is the most intellectual person. Wow, subhanAllah. Look at this achievement. Look at this achievement. Look at this great status this person has just acquired. Our mind is molded around the dunya. Our mind is being controlled by the dunya. And let's see, let's listen to that answer which can never be wrong. The answer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man akyasu nas? Who is the most intellectual? Wa man ahwatu nas? Who is the most precautious person? What does he say? أكثرهم ذكرا للموت وأشدهم استعدادا له. أكثرهم ذكرا للموت وأشدهم استعدادا له. Those people who excessively make mention of death. Those people who excessively make mention of death, and they don't just talk about it. It's not just lip service. وَأَشَدُّهُمْ إِسْتِعْدَادًا لَهُ. And those people who most excessively they prepare for death. They prepare for death. They understand that one day we are going to leave this world. And this world is just like one temporary abode. One chance Allah has given us. That here's your chance. Build your akhirah. Build your future. Build the world that is to come hereafter. Build it to the best of your ability. Do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. If you do good deeds, you'll be building a good house, a good palace, a good abode in Jannah. And if you end up doing evil deeds, then you will be building an evil house, and a house of shar, and a house of azab, and a house of punishment in the hereafter. He didn't say, the clever people are like this, and the clever people are like this. These were the clever people. Whether you're rich or poor, whoever remembers death excessively, talks about death, reminds himself of death, reminds himself and starts preparing for death and the life which is to come after death, no matter how rich you are, no matter how poor you are, you're the most intellectual. Whether you've got a 5-bedroom house, whether you've got 5 houses, or whether you're sitting as a homeless person on the streets, whoever has this quality inside of them, in the eyes of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the most intellectual person. He is the most intellectual person. Because my dear friends, it's impossible. It is absolutely impossible that somebody believes in the hereafter. He reminds himself that this is going to come at the time of death. This is going to come when I enter into my qabr. And this will happen in the barzakh, in the life after the qabr, whilst I'm in the qabr. And this will happen when I'm resurrected in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's impossible that he remembers and he makes an effort to prepare for that and he won't be a successful person. It's impossible. Whoever will do this and follow this guideline of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will become an intellectual person. In the short time that we have remaining together, my dear friends, let us just make mention of a few, a drop in the ocean of what will happen in the hereafter. Of what will happen when the angel of death will come knocking on our doors. Once, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam saw the angel of death. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, he met the angel of death. Now who is Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam? Not just a normal prophet of Allah. تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. Allah Ta'ala says, these prophets, we have given some more virtue, some a more higher, some a more lofty status than others. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam was from the ulul azmi min al-rusul, from the people of determination. He was from the elite force of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. Imagine how much courage, how much willpower, how much strength Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to him, my dear friends. So he meets the angel of death. And he tells the angel of death that, O Malakul Maut, why don't you show me today that face and that shakal and that form you adopt when you come to extract the soul of an evil servant of Allah. I want to know, when you come to extract the soul of a disbeliever, when you come to extract the soul of a believer, but he was never ever good, never obedient to Allah, always violating the rights of Allah Ta'ala. Allah wants this, he was always going in the opposite direction. O Malakul Maut, why don't you show me what form you come inside? Because I know you come in different forms. The angel of death says, O Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, leave it out, please. You won't be able to tolerate and bear the sight. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, come and show me. I just want to see it once. I just want to know what kind of form you come in. So as he insisted, the angel of death says that, O Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, turn around for a short while. Turn around for a short while. And Malakul Maut, he transforms himself and comes into that form. He goes into that form when he appears in when he comes to extract the soul of an evil servant. As soon as Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam turned around, he fell unconscious. He fell unconscious. And my dear friends, you think this is bad? Look at the statement he says when he comes back to consciousness. So for a while, he remained unconscious. When he finally came back to consciousness, and the angel of death was there, but he was in his normal form again. Not in that evil form. Not in that horrific and terrific form. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said that afterwards when he would describe it, he said, I saw a person who was extremely ugly. I saw a being that was extremely ugly. رِجْلَاهُ فِي السَّمَاءُ رِجْلَاهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَرَأْسُهُ فِي السَّمَاءُ. His two feet were sitting on the earth and his head was all the way in the sky. Imagine. لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. My dear friends, may Allah save us. But imagine on our deathbed if something like this appears in front of us. What chances do we have that we'll be given the tawfiq to recite the kalima at this time, my dear friends? His feet are on the earth and he's so enormous that his head is in the sky. The worst and the most ugliest thing you have ever seen in your lives. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam then made this statement that it is my belief, it is my understanding, and it is my experience now that the most worst servant of Allah Ta'ala to ever step foot on this earth, if Allah was to give him no other punishment but this, that he would have to put up with the sight of this evil sight of the angel of death, then this would be enough for his punishment. Allahu Akbar. The most evil servant. Imagine what kind of deeds he must have done. How much he must have killed so many people. He was somebody who would swear at his parents. He would hit his parents. Probably killed his parents as well. He would cheat people, always argue with people. He would do every single thing Allah Ta'ala told him not to. Imagine how angry Allah must be with him. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam says that if this person receives no other punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but this, that he has to put up with this evil sight of the angel of death, that I believe this will be enough for him. This will be enough for him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when the soul is extracted and now the people are taking the body to the graveyard, he says that if it is a good body, because it's looking forward to the reward Allah has kept for that soul inside the qabr, he says, قَدِّمُونِي قَدِّمُونِي, take me more quicker into that grave. And when that evil soul, because it knows what is waiting for him in that qabr, when the people are lifting that body, it is saying, ya waylaha, that, oh, let me take pity on myself. Let me take pity on my condition today. فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ بِهَا. Where are you taking this soul? Where are you taking this soul? Every creation of Allah can hear this scream except for the ins and the jinn. Every creation of Allah can hear that scream except for the ins and the jinn. My dear friends, if we were to just hear once this scream, or the scream that the dead body makes whilst it's inside the qabr, my dear friends, we would change our lives forever. We would change our lives forever because we would know that we could never put up with something like this. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and like I said, I'm just mentioning to you drops of the ocean, my dear friends. Otherwise, the Quran, the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are filled with this topic of everything that will happen from the time of death till ma ba'd al-maut, whatever will happen after death as well. But we purposely run away from this. We purposely don't get into this discussion. If we're sitting somewhere and that alim starts talking about death, ta'aleem starts and death is being, we think, when can we get out of here? It's going to spoil my mood. It's going to make my tea taste bitter. I don't want to sit here listening to this. I want to enjoy myself. Because what do we say, my dear friends? What do we all say? That yes, I want to be a good Muslim, but not now, after a short while. When I turn 50 and then I retire and all my children will be working, then I'll have nothing to do anyway. So all day I'll be reading Quran. All day I'll be praying namaz. Oh, when I get 60, and that 60, as soon as I turn 60, and that year when I go to perform Hajj, then I'm going to be a Hajj sub after that. And I'm going to change, I'm going to have a complete U-turn in my life. And I'll remind myself of death, and I'll start preparing for death, and I'll do everything I can to make myself a better person, but now it's time to enjoy myself. Now, you know, I have to make my children happy and my wife happy. And even if they tell me that, Dad, we want to do something haram, just let them do it. It doesn't matter. I will help them as well. Because right now, it's time to enjoy ourselves. No Muslim ever says they want to die like this. Never will I say that the condition I am in today, I want to die like this. And I'm sure many of you will say yourselves as well, that the condition I am in right now, no way can I face Allah Ta'ala like this. We all want to change. But shaitan never ever lets us say that now I'm going to change. What does he always say? I will change and I am going to change and Allah wants me to change and I want to change, but not now, later on, later on, later on. Later on. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my dear friends, he says that لَلْ مَيِّتُ فِي قَبْرِهِ إِلَّا كَالْغَرِيقِ الْمُتَغَوِّثِ لَلْمَيِّثُ فِي قَبْرِهِ إِلَّا كَالْغَرِيقِ الْمُتَغَوِّثِ That the dead person, his condition in that grave is just like that person who is drowning in the ocean and is screaming for help, screaming for help. He's drowning, he's jumping back up again. He's drowning, he's jumping back up again and he's saying, help me, take me out of here. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, we can't see this. When we go to the Qabristan, we can just see the soil and the mitti at the top of the qabr. And we can just imagine that, oh, everything is peaceful over here. But my dear friends, what is really happening behind the veils, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And the angels of punishment know. And those creatures which have been sent to this person, they know what is really happening to him. كَالْغَرِيقِ الْمُتَغَوِّثِ It's like he's drowning and he's saying, oh people, help me, where have you left me? Take me out of here, take me out of here. And he's screaming for help, screaming for help, screaming for help. My dear friends, only one thing can help him when he's inside that qabr. Only one thing can help him when he's inside that qabr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that this whole world we live, at the end of it, three things follow us to our qabrastan. يَتْبَعُ الْمَيِّتَ ثَلَاثًا Three things follow a person to the qabrastan. يَتْبَعُهُ مَالُهُ وَأَهْلُهُ وَعَمَلُهُ أو كما قال. Three things follow him. His wealth will follow him. His son will drive his dad's car to the qabrastan. If in those days somebody had servants, all his servants, the khuddam, all his belongings will come to him to the qabrastan. And his family members will come, his brothers will come, his father will come, his son will come, his relatives will come, his friends will come, people from the masjid will come. His family members will go, his friends will go, and amaluhu, his amal will go as well. His amal will go as well. These three things will follow him to the qabrastan. But only one thing will remain with him, and the two things will go away. One thing will remain with him, and two things will go away. His family members, they came today, they dropped him off at the qabrastan. Seldom will they be seen, my dear friends. Seldom will they be seen. Everybody's got a busy life. When have you ever gone to the Qabristan and every mayyit over there, every dead person over there, you have seen his family members in excessive amount? Leave aside excessive amount, how many times do you even go to the Qabristan and you see a single other person there? You decide to go, it's Friday, day of Jumu'ah, let me go and remind myself of death. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that, كُنْتُ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ زِيَارَةِ الْقُبُورِ. You people used to get up to no good, so I used to prohibit you from visiting the graveyards, but now I am saying, Allah, listen carefully, فَزُورُوهَا. Now go excessively to the Qabristan. Why? فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُكُمُ الْمَوْتَ فَإِنَّهَا تُزَهِّدُكُمُ الدُّنْيَا وَتُذَكِّرُكُمُ الْآخِرَةِ. Because when you go to the Qabristan, when you will realize what is waiting for you, when you will realize that no matter how big my mansion was, I own the whole town in this world, but when I go into that qabr, 6x3 plot is only for me. Nobody will say, oh, this set and this person, he had such a big business, so give him 10 qabrs. Oh, you know, he had such a big business, so put his money inside that qabr with him. No, my dear friends. Every ameer, gharib, the rich, the poor, they will all go inside that qabr. The influential, the one no one used to know, everyone will go into that qabr in that same state. But who goes to the Qabristan today to visit the family members? He says, the family members will return. His wealth will return. Leave aside return, my dear friends. That wealth no longer belongs to him. Your whole life, our whole lives we spend behind earning this dunya, 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 dunya. Namaz time, no my dunya. Hajj time, no my dunya. I need to take out zakat, no my dunya. Dunya, dunya was so beloved to me. Money was so beloved to me. The love, the emotions of Qarun have come into us that no, money, this is my money. And I want money, everything, my whole life revolves around this money. My children, money, money. You have to do something that you can earn so much money. Don't worry about the akhirat right now. You're too young to worry about the akhirat. Wife, think about money. What can you start? Namaz, don't worry about namaz right now. We will start praying when we retire. When we retire, we will have 10 houses. So much rental income will come. Money, 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 money. This money, my dear friends, that we go mad about in this dunya. And we say, for my family. This same family fights over that money tomorrow when we die. The brother no longer wants to see the brother because this belongs to me. And he says, no, this belongs to me. The mother has an argument with the children and she says, this belongs to me. And they are saying, no mom, this property of dad, this belongs to me. This business of dad, this belongs to me. Whole life we said, we kept on saying, my family, my family, my family. I want to do this for them and I want to do this for them. Because when I go, they will be comfortable. They are not comfortable, they are arguing and they are fighting. And for a long time they were waiting that when will this old man reach that qabr so everything becomes ours. And that Allah who is saying, why don't you store some money in my bank account? Why don't you send something forward for the akhirat? Why don't you do something that will be worthwhile for you? Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't sustain our families. I'm not saying that don't try hard for a comfortable life. And I'm not saying that wealth is something bad. I'm not saying that. Wealth is something good. Alhamdulillah, I live in a property with my parents. We have a beautiful house. Alhamdulillah. Many of you over here, you have beautiful houses, comfortable cars. Allah has given us a lot. Allah calls money in the glorious Quran, Fadlullah, the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Allah ka fazl. So money is not something bad. But when this money makes us neglectful of Allah, makes us neglectful of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, makes us neglectful of the akhirah, now this money becomes something bad. That's why Allah says, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. This wealth we have given to you, it is a big test. We are testing you through this wealth. So my dear friends, I was explaining, three things will come to the qabr. You saw what happened to the wealth. You saw what happens to your family members. Only one thing will help you inside that qabr, my dear friends. It is going to be our a'mal. Mine and your a'mal, my dear friends. This is the only thing that will help us in that qabr. And that's why he said that أَكْثَرُهُمْ ذِكْرًا لِلْمَوْتِ. Those who excessively remember death and those who excessively prepare for death. These are the clever people. So my dear friends, we need to remind ourselves of these accounts. Look at these people. And look at the state of that person when the angel is extracting that soul. Look at the state of that people when they go inside that qabr. What will happen when I stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My dear friends, if, and this happens a lot, that innocent people, they are caught and they are accused and they are slandered of doing something bad. And we have the 100% innocent person. But if he is accused and now a court case starts and he has to go to court, he's trembling like mad. He's so scared. He knows that 100% I am innocent. I have not done anything wrong. Somebody has accused me of being this. Somebody has accused me of doing this. I am 100% innocent. But he is scared. That what if I go into this court and I can't express myself? What if I go into this court and so many people give their proofs against me and I have to go into that prison? He is so scared. Then how will we feel being criminals, being mujrims, being violators of the rights of Allah Ta'ala and the hukuk and the orders of Allah Ta'ala? How can we give any excuse in that court tomorrow, my dear friends? The Supreme Court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we'll stand in that court. From there, the hisab, kitab, do we get it in our right hand? Do we get it in our left hand? From there, the pul sirat, my dear friends. One by one, these different stages of the akhirat will start. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma says, that my father, Amr ibn al-As, he used to say that I'm quite amazed by that person. I'm quite confused and puzzled by that person. That death comes to him, he still has his aqal, he still has his tongue, but whenever I go to somebody who is in the pangs of death, and I ask him that, please describe death to me, they can never describe death to me. So Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he used to say that my father Amr ibn al-As, he used to be amazed by such people, that they're dying, they have the aqal, they have their tongue, but still, they cannot describe death to me. So Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As says, a few years went by, when that time came when the angel of death came knocking on the door of my father. And he was there in front of me in the pangs of death. So I said, oh my father, why don't you describe death to me? Why don't you describe death to me and tell me? All your life you kept saying that, oh people, why can't they describe death? So father, your turn has come today. Why don't you describe death to me? What does he say? Oh my dear son, death is far from description. Death is far from description. I can't describe death to you. But I'll mention four things to you. Let me describe to you what I'm experiencing right now. He says, right now it feels like two big mountains from the Arabian Peninsula are on my shoulders. I am dying. The angel of death is extracting my soul. And I feel so overburdened, so loaded, as if two mountains are on my shoulder. And my ruh is being extracted from my body. And it feels like my ruh is being extracted from the head of a needle. That small hole that comes at the head of the needle. It feels the angel of death is trying to extract my soul from there. Abdullah Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He asked Hazrat Ka'b radiallahu anhu. That, oh Ka'b, describe death for me. He says, imagine in your stomach, a thorny plant was placed inside your stomach. A plant with many, many thorns, many, many pricks on it. And he said that this thorn was placed into your stomach and it clings onto different body organs in your stomach. And the most strongest man, he pulls on that plant. Imagine what your state will be. He says, much worse than this, it feels like when the ruh is being extracted from the body. And I ask you, my dear friends, and I ask myself, that the way I am living right now, does it look like I will get the tawfiq to pray the kalima at that time? So Amr ibn al-As says, four things I will tell you. Two big mountains. I feels like I am holding the burden of two big mountains. It feels like my ruh is being extracted from the head of a needle. It feels like there is something thorny and pricky in my body and it is being extracted. And he said one more thing as well, my dear friends, I can't recall, but Allahu Akbar, look at this description. Uthman radiallahu anhu, who was already given the first class ticket to Jannah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Wa Uthmanu fil Jannah." Uthman will be in Jannah. When he would go to the Qabristan, he would cry, my dear friends, he would cry so profusely, his whole beard would become wet. People will say to him, "Oh Uthman, when Jannat and Jahannam are mentioned in front of you, you don't cry as much as you cry in front of the Qabr." He said, "Because I have heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying that Qabr is the first station of the Akhirah. Qabr is the first station of the Akhirah. If the Qabr is successful, everything else will be successful. And if you fail in that Qabr, then everything else will be a failure and a disaster for you." My dear friends, this death is going to come knocking on our doors. Akhir mot hai. Kar lo jo karn ek din marna hai, akhir mot hai. The poet says that one day we will have to die. Finally, death will come. Ek din marna hai, akhir mot hai. Kar lo jo karna hai, akhir mot hai. Do whatever good deeds you are able to do today. Use whatever willpower you have today to get out of that drug habit, to get out of that haram relationship, to get out of that haram transaction, to change your akhlaq, to become the way Allah wants you to become. Kar lo jo karna hai, whatever you are able to do today, do it, because akhir maut hai, you will have to die. My dear friends, no matter how much we plea in the akhirat, no matter how much we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and again, different places in the Quran, Allah records such people who say to Allah, "Law anna lana karratan fanakun," that, "Oh Allah, if you give us another chance to come into the dunya, we'll become the best human beings, the best human beings." Kalla, Allah says, kalla, never, impossible. Now you have come into the realms of the akhirat, there's no more turning back to the dunya. Ya sakin al qasr al mu'alla satudfanu an qareebin fi turabi. My dear friends, the poet says, don't let these big mansions around us, don't let them deceive us. Don't let these mansions think to ourselves, "I'm in a high mansion and I must be successful, that's why Allah has given me so much." No, satudfanu an qareebin fi turabi. Very soon you are going to go into that mitti and that soil, and you'll be buried into that qabr, and you'll have to deal with all the stages of that qabr. My dear friends, Allah poses such a strong question to us. Allah poses such a strong question to us. And it's so relevant for me. And I'm sure it's so relevant for many of you. That the way we are living today, the way we are violating the rights of Allah, the way we are living as if there is no returning to Allah, the way we are cheating one another, as if we won't have to answer for it tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, the way we mock one another, the way we put people down, the way we make people look like losers in front of us, the way we want to be the talk of the town, the way there is nobody better than us, the way we are living, Allah Ta'ala asks us, "Afahasibtum annama khalaqnakum abatha?" Oh people, do you think we have created you for play and amusement? Do you think we had nothing to do and that's why we created you for play and amusement? وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. And you think you won't return back to us? Of course we will return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, my dear friends, we will have to answer for these deeds. Wrapping up now, my dear friends, like the Arabic saying goes, if you want, my dear friends, a good death, and we all want, isn't it? We all want a good death, my dear friends. We know we are weak. We know there is so much fitna around us. There are so many trials, tribulations around us. When we go to college, 100 different things are pulling us towards us. When we use the public transport, 100 different things are pulling us towards us. When we go to work, this woman has come in the form of fitna for me. This person has come in the form of fitna for me. This person is saying to me, "Come and just sign this form. We know it's illegal. We know it's not allowed, but come and look how much money we will make. This woman is trying to let me go into an affair. This person is saying this to me." So much trial and tribulations around us, my dear friends. So much trial and tribulations around us, my dear friends. But if we want that at that last moment, we leave this world with the kalima, "La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah." The Arabic saying explains to us, "Tamutuna kama tahyaun." It's simple. "Tamutuna kama tahyaun." You will leave this world the way you lived this world. You will leave this world the way you lived this world. If you live this world in a good manner, Allah Ta'ala will take you in a good manner. If you live this world in a bad manner, Allah Ta'ala will take you in a bad manner. وَتُحْشَرُونَ كَمَا تَمُوتُونَ. And the way you die, the way you'll be resurrected.
So the way you live, the way you will die, the way you die, the way you will be resurrected, isn't it so easy today, my dear friends? Before that trial comes onto us, before the difficult times come onto us, before the pangs of death come onto us, before we have to face that qabr, my dear friends, and before we go through every stage that will come after that, let us use this willpower. Let us use the ulama in our vicinity. Let us go to them. Let us seek advice from them. Let us take help from them. My dear friends, don't just follow the crowd. Just because your friends are doing something, it doesn't mean you have to do it. Just because your family are telling you to do something and it's going against the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't mean you have to do it. My dear friends, us as believers, we know وَالْبَعْثِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ will be resurrected after death. Then why should we live a life of neglect? Let me give you an example. Sa'd ibn Mu'az radiallahu anhu. Sa'd ibn Mu'az, he was the leader of his tribe. And when after the Bay'atul Aqaba, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bay'atul Aqaba, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah. Few people from Medina came to perform Hajj. They took pleasure in the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have accepted Islam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent the Qari, sent the Alim, sent the Mufti, Hazrat Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu, that go to Medina Munawwara, teach the people Islam. He came and Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu, he was residing in Medina Munawwara when Sa'd bin Mu'az, who wasn't a Muslim, he came with his sword to kill Mus'ab bin Umair. And who is this person creating shar and destruction in Medina Munawwara? He came, Mus'ab bin Umair says, calm down, my friend. Calm down, why don't you sit for a few minutes? Listen to what I have to share with you. He shares some words of advice. He gives him some sort of da'wah. Sa'd bin Mu'az says, oh Mus'ab, show me how to enter into this beautiful religion. And he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Such an influential person. He returns back to his tribe and he tells his tribe, I'm not going to talk to a single one of you until you all proclaim and also bear witness that la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Such an influential man that the night did not come but every person in his tribe accepted Islam. The night did not yet dawn and every single person accepted Islam. Three things Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa said, many things. Three things I will say to you. He said, when this person Sa'd bin Mu'az radiallahu anhu passed away, ihtazza al-arshu limawti Sa'd ibn Mu'az. The arsh of Allah ta'ala shook when Sa'd bin Mu'az's ruh was extracted over here. وَفُتِحَتْ لَهُ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ. The doors of the skies were opened to welcome Sa'd bin Mu'az radiallahu anhu. The munafiqeen, the hypocrites, they were laughing. When he passed away, they were laughing. And they said, we have never lifted up a body as light as the body we have just lifted up today. Meaning he was a worthless person. This person, Bekar Admita. He was a worthless person. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when he just passed away, 70,000 such angels that have never ever trodden foot on this earth, they came to collect the ruh of Sa'd bin Mu'az radiallahu anhu. Even this great person, when he is lowered into the qabr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions, they finish burying him. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after a while, he says, Subhanallah. And he starts doing zikr of Allah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, different azkar of Allah, zikr of Allah. After a while, the companions asked him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we saw you do something we have never ever seen you do in the past. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that even on this pious person, Sa'd bin Mu'az, the qabr started to tighten upon him until we did the zikr of Allah and Allah ta'ala released that pressure. If this happened to Sa'd bin Mu'az radiallahu anhu, what will happen to you and I, my dear friends? Let me just give you two examples and we will finish, of people who led pious lives and look how Allah ta'ala granted them death. The sheikh of my respected sheikh who resides in the UK, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Salim Dorat Sahib Hafizahullah. His sheikh was Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh. Whole life he lived a life of obedience. Whole life, whenever he would get the opportunity, he would go for Hajj, he would go for Umrah. On his deathbed, he's there saying, Makkah, Medina, Makkah, Medina, Makkah, Medina. And Allah Ta'ala takes his soul away. Allah Ta'ala takes his soul away. Another great person who has just passed away recently, Sheikh Abul Hassan Ali Al-Nadwi Rahmatullahi Alayh. A great alim known in the Arab world, in the non-Arab world.
When he passes away, my dear friends, it's the day of Friday. He lived a life of piety. The day of Friday, he gets up, he takes ghusl, as is the sunnah of the day of Friday. Takes ghusl, puts the pillow down, opens the glorious Quran, starts to recite Surah Yasin, gets to the words of Allah, where Allah says that when the people will enter into Jannah, Salamun qawlam min Rabbir Rahim, Allah Ta'ala will greet these people with salam. He recites this verse and Allah Ta'ala takes this soul away, as if Allah has just said salam to him, my dear friends. It's not impossible for us as well, my dear friends. I plead to you and I beg my evil soul and my nafs as well, that let us change our lives today. Let us make the most of our lives today. My dear friends, I'll just comment over here that if I knew I am going to live till 60 years old, it would have been okay. Because I would have changed, I would have messed around till 55, and 55 I would have changed my life. But my dear friends, please put your hand up over here if you know when you're going to die. This is the catch. We know we're going to die, but nobody knows when and where we are going to die. Nobody knows if we leave this masjid alive as well, my dear friends. Before that time comes and it will be too late, my dear friends, let us turn to Allah, change our lives, rectify our lives, become pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that when we die, the angels of Allah ta'ala will come to welcome us. The angels of Allah ta'ala will carry our bodies into the qabr. They will welcome us inside that qabr. Allah ta'ala will open the doors of the sky for our ruh when it comes up there. And Allah ta'ala will see us and Allah ta'ala will be happy with us. I pray Allah Ta'ala make these challenges easy for me, my young ones over here, and every single person listening. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.